Thank you so much for coming out. For those of you who I may not know, my name is Wayne Lanier, and I am the over church life here at the Midtown campus. Let me just real quick introduce a couple of people to everyone, just to make sure that you guys know who everyone is. So let's see. If you're in the room, just stand up, or you may have to come back down or whatever. But of course, Patrice, who is just here. Patrice is the director of our groups here at Midtown, and just so grateful for all that she does. David O'Rear, who's back in the booth there, he's a part of our church life team. And those of you who do groups here at Midtown on Tuesdays and Thursdays, David is our lead point person for our groups on those nights, and so he's your go-to man and taking care of you guys. Nicole Phillips, of course, most of you know Nicole. She has been the group's director for the last year, and she's part of our church life team. And Nicole now oversees our assimilation areas here at the Midtown campus, which is everything from, you know, everything around from first-time visitors to new members and people that make commitments to Christ and so forth and so on, and lots involved there. Pastor Bob Thayer here from Orange Park. Pastor Bob is the church. Come on now, you got that Orange Park representation going on. Y'all watch out, I preach up in here now. We'll get it going now. You messed me up. Sorry about that, Bob. Sorry. I just got stirred up there for a minute. You got all that shouting going on. Okay. All right. Pastor Bob is, he's over church life at the Orange Park campus. And Amory Bajents, Amory's back here somewhere. She's back there in the back from Orange Park. And she runs everything else at Orange Park, basically. But no. But she does. She is a key administrator there at Orange Park and oversees serving in a number of other areas and works with all of you guys in groups as well. Well, really appreciate you guys taking time to come out. One of the things that we are going to begin to do. I'm sorry. Who did I miss? Oh, there she is in the back. Sorry, Joanne Medina. I missed Joanne back there. Joanne is our Joanne, and she actually runs Midtown, actually. But exactly right. I really don't, but that's because she runs it all, and I just show up. But no, Joanne is our pastoral care administrator and the key administrator over church life here at the Midtown campus. And she keeps us all straight, or at least attempts to the best of her ability. There's the purpose behind why we wanted to gather today. One of the things that we are going to begin to do is to try to have, there'll be like a twice a year, we're going to kind of do this kind of a big session together, heading into the fall and then again heading into the spring, just to bring us all together and kind of have a little bit of training, and also to be a good opportunity for those of you that are going to be new as group leaders, or maybe you're interested in helping out in the area of hosting and so, or assisting and so forth, and we'll talk about that in detail a little bit later. But this is just be a good opportunity for us all to meet and get to know one another a little better and kind of bring us all back and help us to just kind of retune and refocus heading into the next season of group life here at Celebration. And so that's the purpose of our day today. And then when we wrap up this general session today, then we'll have a few breakout sessions. Patrice will come back up when I'm done and kind of set everybody up for those breakout sessions that we're going to have, which will give you a lot more specifics in some of these key areas that we're going to talk about today. But first, as we look at groups, let me ask this question. How many of you, when you decided or when you moved in the direction of group leading, or some of you have been leading groups for a long time, how many of you was it, there was something on the inside, whether it was in prayer, whether you just sensed this, I need to go in this direction. For some of you, it was clearly you knew God was drawing you in that direction. How many of you had something along that line happen to you, kind of drew you in this direction? Yeah. Because, you see, there is something that God has placed within you. There's something He has stirred within you. There is some gift, some work that He has wired you for. And that's why He's drawn you here, because of what happens in the area of group life. And so we want to do our best to equip and give you all the strength and the support and the resources and whatever that you may need to so that you can fulfill what God has stirred in your life. Because each of us, we all said, you know, there was just a knowing, a sense, I just knew it was God. It was whatever was that, you know, however God got you here, we want to help make sure that you are equipped and empowered to live out what God has designed you for, so that you can fulfill all that He's created you to be as it relates to groups. And we do that obviously here at Celebration Church. And so I want to kind of take a moment here in the beginning and kind of re-talk about a little bit about us as a church and a little bit of our why behind everything that we do, because that helps us to always keep our perspective in our groups. You know, at Celebration Church, we exist to equip and empower people to live a God-first life, right? That's what we want to see, people begin to put God first in every area of their life. And so we exist to help equip and empower them to begin to live that life that's putting God first. And all of you in this room are one of the primary ways. You are some of the primary people that God uses to accomplish that at Celebration Church. Now, everything that we do goes towards that. And you are one of the primary ways that God works in the area of groups. So let me just talk through real quickly some of our guiding principles here at Celebration, because it's these guiding principles that guide us in how we do what we do and why we do the things that we do. And the first one is the fact that we are God first. Being God first is the foundation. We are a place that is, we are people that have decided to put God first in every area of our life. We are looking, God, we want God to be first. We want Him to be first in how we relate to others. We want Him to be first in how we deal in the workplace. We want God to be first in how we relate to our families. We want Him to be first in the fact that we seek Him and we look to Him first, that we look to His wisdom and His guidance, that we look to His Word. We want Him to be first in how we handle our finances. We want Him to be first in every area of our life. Because putting God first, how many of you know that it really matters when you're out there? You know that neighbor that you wish would move? Do you know what I'm saying? Come on now. This is real world here. Come on now. Come on. You know you were thinking that. You just won't tell anybody, right? Well, it's how we work that out. It's how we work through that. It's how we were able to overcome these feelings that we've gotten, you know, because they've been a jerk. And so, you know, you're trying to figure it, work through it. And how do I? That's all a part of putting God first. It's because we're looking to Him, because we need Him to help us, to give us the wisdom to, you know, we want to speak words of life. We want to be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. And so that's where it becomes real in everyday life. And so we are a place that, so that's the foundation of everything we do. So our foundational value is, we put God first, and for us, we put God first in the way we worship, right? We're putting God, it affects the fact that we are, our lives are being transformed because we've begun to put Him first. It's about now we get to live relationships that are real. You know, we can take off the mask. We don't have to live hidden. We can be honest and real with one another because we realize Jesus is Lord, and that we need Him working in all of our lives. Putting God first, the value of putting God first, it affects how we serve. It just stirs that within us to want to serve others and to be a blessing to others. It putting God first, that foundational value, it stirs our heart and our passion and our desire to reach others and to make a difference in the world around us. And the second guiding principle and key value here is that we want to be a place, we want to have an accepting atmosphere. Now that's really a cultural thing. In other words, we want the culture of Celebration Church is that we want people to know they're accepted, that they're loved, that we care about them. Now, that doesn't mean that we necessarily condone everything that people do. But that means we love them, and we want to see them put God first, because He knows how to handle what they're dealing with and help them to overcome, right? And so, when we want to have an accepting atmosphere, why? Because we want to be a church that looks like heaven, right? It's about, you know, being sincere and being real. An accepting atmosphere means that we want to have in everything that we do. Now, remember, these things that I'm talking to you about now, and I'm going through these guiding principles, these guiding principles is what relates back to everything that happens in your group. Everything that happens in your group, the foundation of your group is what? We're putting God first, right? The atmosphere of our group is that it's to be accepting, right? And so it's got to be a safe place. It has to be where we come together and we're real and we love and we care for one another and where we're focused on others. And then the third piece to this is that, you know, we want to have relevant environments. And that's really how we express who we are. And so relevant environments means that we're not haphazard in what we do. So in our groups, we're very intentional. You're very intentional in how, you know, the environment, how things look, you know, things coming in. You want people to be safe. You want them to feel comfortable. That's why we do groups, because, you know, it's ministry to people to help them to begin to connect. And a relevant environment means it's a place where people can connect. You know, isn't it just the worst feeling in the world to go somewhere and feel like the odd man out? Isn't it? Especially in a small group of people. Ever gone somewhere with a friend and it's, oh, well, we got to stop by and we're going to go over to wherever and you don't know anybody there and you just, you know, and they're like, you know, and you can get that feeling they're kind of looking at you like, you know, where did they come from and why are they here and who are they, you know? And you feel like the odd man out. Isn't that just the worst, kind of weird? You never get comfortable and you're not really. That's what we want to make sure doesn't happen in our groups. And so that's where that relevant environment, being purposeful, a place to connect, a place that's enjoyable. Because people should walk away, or actually people should expect that if I go there, I'm going to experience that acceptance and love. I'm going to be focused towards God. We're going to be looking to God, and I know that it's a place. I know I'm going to enjoy it. I know it's going to be a time that's there. Now, that's not to say in some, because of some of the groups that we have and some of the ministries we have, it's there. At times it gets a little tense. You know, at times it gets a little challenging. But that's the nature of ministering to people in some of the specific areas that some of you work and minister in, and I understand that. But that doesn't take away from making sure it's safe to do that. It's safe to bring our stuff to the surface and allow God to get into the middle of who we are. And so our mission is to equip and empower people to live a God-first life, and we, you know, the values that we have, because it's being God first and accepting atmosphere, having relevant environments, those things that we just discussed. So why do we do groups? Why do we do groups? The purpose of our groups, the thing that drives us, the fuel that helps us to show up one more time, the wind in our sail, if you will, is that we want to see people connect with God and build some lasting friendships. We want to see people connect with God in a real way. Connect with God in an impactful way. And connect with other people in a way that means something to them. You know, friendships and people that they know that cared. Because we want to see people connecting with God and their lives transformed. You know, we want to see them growing in their relationship with Jesus and their knowledge to God. And when that begins to happen, miracles start to take place, isn't it? I mean, transformation starts to happen. Life change starts to happen. Man, somebody comes in, they start telling you, you know, their story of, I can't even believe what God has done. I had the opportunity this week to take a trip over to Missouri, and I spent literally a few hours. I spent overnight, part of 2 days, in a drug rehab facility. And it was interesting. It's out in the middle of nowhere, and this was started and established by a Russian gentleman who God spoke to and told him to come to the United States and do this. Who'd been doing this in Russia amazingly successfully for 14 or 15 years now. But it was interesting as to see, because how to hear these guys' stories of how God was transforming their life, and step by step God was doing amazing things. Do you know the interesting thing that in talking with them and hearing about what was happening there, do you know the amazing aspect of where they were experiencing God working in their lives in amazing ways and transformation happened? The primary thing that you could connect back to was the relationships of the leaders that were there, who were giving their lives and saying, you know what, we're here for you, we love you, we're connecting with you, we're going to walk this out together. And it was day in and day out, that connection, that they began to put down their guard and begin to open up to God and begin to open up in the relationships, and God began to do amazing things. And it was just phenomenal to hear the stories of what God had done in their lives, because they begin to connect with God and they begin to connect with some people in a real and honest and an open and an accepting and a loving way. That's what God does in your groups. That's where He works in your groups. So we're creating that opportunity for people to build those lasting relationships. Now, in the equipping side of this, we really want to create and begin to grow in an environment where people can begin to, whether they're from within your group or someone that comes to your group that we may send your way, that it becomes natural for people to begin to notice that maybe God has put a gift in them. Maybe there's, you know, maybe there's something that's there. Maybe God's wired them in a way that they might be developing into that future group leader or host or whatever it may be. And so we want to create an environment where we, as leaders, our growth is the natural byproduct. Our growth as leaders, our growth in who God has wired us to be, your growth as a leader, the people within your group, there's going to be somebody probably within your group at one point or another that, because of your interaction with them, because of that God is all of a sudden, He's touching their heart, and they are being drawn into group life as far as leadership is concerned. Because here's what we know. If we are going to reach more people, if we are going to help fulfill the vision that God has placed here at Celebration Church, there's a whole lot more people coming that need to connect to God in a real way, and they need to build some real friendships. Because I can tell you this, the common thing that I hear from people over and over and over again, I sit with numerous every week, and in many years of ministry, the common thing that I hear people say is, I really would like to have some real friends. It's not that they don't have people they would consider to be friends. They just don't have people they feel like they can lay things down with. They just don't have people that they know have got their back. They don't have people in their world that they know that when there's somebody there that will pray with them, that'll care for them, that no matter if they make a mistake and blow it, there's somebody there to come along and lift them up. That's why the Bible says if you walk together and fall in the ditch, it's very difficult. But if two of us are walking together and one of us falls, the other can help get him out, right? And then it goes on to say, if there's three of us walking together, that threefold bond is not easily broken. It's the bond, that bond of relation. See, the more of us that are united together in relation because we're united together in Jesus, the more that we have this relationships together and we grow and that develops more, the stronger we become. The stronger God's work in our midst becomes. It's how He does it. And so here's that process of growth. There's a couple of things that we're going to begin to really put into play in just the natural flow of things in group life, the natural flow of things in things that we're communicating out to you as group leaders, and because we want to develop a natural flow or a natural greenhouse effect, if you will, that causes people to begin to grow. And that happens, I believe, through four avenues. The first one is there's going to be information that comes. We all need good information, right? We want to be taught the right information. We want to know what we need to know. So information, we're going to make sure at whatever point a person is at in their development as a leader or whatever point you're at, we want to make sure you have the information that you need. Secondly is a process of modeling. And here's what I mean by that. Modeling means that I see somebody else doing before I do. Because here's the principle. There's a whole lot more that we catch by being in the right place than just by hearing the right things. Now, we don't want to minimize hearing the right things, but we also want to hear the right things and then see somebody that's already been walking that out. You know, if I've never led a group before, see, when you do something new for the first time, all your insecurities are going to come out, okay? So the first time you step into something you've never done before, you know, there's that sense of, you're nervous. You're like, what if I, could I just mess this up, and nobody comes back again? There's all these things. And so we want to help strengthen you to kind of minimize that as much as we can. So how great is it, though, if I'm able to be in an environment and I watch Robert lead. I watch him lead this group over, and I've seen him. I've seen how he did it. I've watched it. And he says, "Hey, why don't you, take attendance next week?" Sure, I can do that. And I do that for him next week, and then maybe next week he says, "Hey, why don't you take the prayer request and do, next week? Why don't you do that?" Sure, yeah, I can. I've watched him. I can do that. And. Because what he doesn't know is that maybe I've never prayed in public before. That'll scare you, won't it? I mean, you're just like, what do I say? But I've watched him do it. I've seen it happen. And so now he says, "Well, hey, you can do that." Yeah, I can do that. And he can maybe coaches me a little bit, gives me a little, "Hey, come on, just and what would you want somebody to pray for you if they were praying?" "Oh, okay, I can do that." And so next week maybe I do that. And a few weeks later, it's something that, do you see now the process has begun to have watched? Now I've done. That's how modeling works. See, it's not a formal thing. It should be a natural thing. It should be the natural deal. All we want to do is begin to encourage us to just give people more opportunities to create. We're going to start looking, for those people. We're going to look for certain traits and aspects. We're going to look for things, in people. We're going to look for passion. They seem to have some passion toward groups. They seem to be, have some good, maybe they got good communication skills. Maybe they seem to really connect with people. Maybe they just seem to really, love group life. And so there'll be a natural opportunity now as we begin to create that. And that next step is called modeling. And then the third piece to this that will be in play and kind of a part of the whole. It's not a step-by-step process. It's just kind of the way we live. Okay? It's just kind of the way we live. And the third one is mentoring. There's going to be a mentoring aspect. Because in other words, now, not only that, so now this person maybe that's stepping in to group leadership, well, we don't want you to just be out there all alone and pray for you, bless you, we love you, hope you make it. Oh, you didn't make it. Well, we hate you didn't make it. Maybe this is not for you. Maybe you should go find somebody. We don't want to create that kind of environment, okay? We don't want to do that. We actually want to create an environment where there's somebody that's been there and done that, that's there with you, joined hands with you, joined arms with you, and they're, that you've watched them and now they're doing, and so I'm now there to kind of man, that was great. Why don't you try this next time? Hey, you know, that was great what you did, but, you know, here's, let me make a suggestion. You know, and you kind of mentor them along. You mentor them along. And then the fourth piece is that of coaching. Now, coaching comes along all the way through, because many of you have been group leading for a long time, but we also want to be engaged with you and kind of help coach you through the process, because there are things that happen that you couldn't prepare for. There are things that happen that we could talk about it all day, but you could not have prepared for that tragedy that happened in one of your group members' family. You could not have prepared for them showing up and, you know, having this going on or that happened, or, you know, they blew it, or, you know, there's just certain things that you're not going to be able to be prepared for, but you've got to know there's somebody there that you can say, you know what, I don't know the answer. You know what, I'm not sure, but we're going to get some help. Or, hey, this is what I did. Great. You know what, that was great. Now let us do, this is what I would suggest we do from here. So in other words, we're going to be engaged from all of our leadership, from me to Patrice to our coordinators and so forth. You know, our role is really going to become more of coming alongside and helping to coach and encourage and help to be a part of that pastoral connection for all of the people that are attending our groups. And so those four components really will help us to create an environment where the natural byproduct will be growth. And the natural byproduct will be us growing as leaders. The natural byproduct will be people that are within our groups or that we send to your group that are growing in leadership themselves, that God has stirred them toward group leadership, that there will be a natural byproduct. Because the thing that I've found in 20-whatever years of ministry, specifically as it relates to groups, is that more group leaders quit leading groups because they got discouraged and didn't know what to do. They got discouraged and then they didn't know what to do from there, and so they didn't feel equipped. They didn't know where to turn. They didn't get their answers. They didn't feel supported. And so we want to do our best to try to minimize that as much as possible. We want to try to create an environment where it's natural to know, you know what, I know that Pastor Bob will help coach me through this. You know, because there was this tragedy in this family. I don't know what to do. You know, our team, we're thinking about this and that and the other. Is this where he's, yeah, you know what, let's do, you know. And he can provide some coaching because he has the experience. He's been there. And so, or the coordinator is able to, you know, help work you through it. Say, you know what, this happened in our group last week, and, you know, and so-and-so, and, the, you know, this person, you know, the person with the Ministry of Correction showed up, and you met them, huh? And, you know, and I, this is kind of how I worked through it, but I really wasn't sure if I did it right and whatever. That's where that coaching also comes into play. And, because trust me, somebody with the Ministry of Correction is coming to your group. No, I'm just kidding. You said some of you are going, what in the world's the Ministry of Correction? Well, the Ministry of Correction is when everything you do is wrong and I know the right way. And sometimes, you know, criticism is good in certain avenues and not in others, right? So we want to create the best environment that we can. And we're going to do that through a couple of ways. And in our breakout sessions, some of you will be going to these different ones. And I've kind of alluded to it when I was talking. These may not necessarily be formal roles, but they're more or less aspects that we need as group leaders to have understanding of, okay? And the first one is we want to see people beginning to assist in the group, becoming an assistant in your group. See, this is where we have the opportunity to you know, maybe we notice that person's kind of passionate about, you know, group life. Maybe they got some good people skills. You know, they seem to have a real desire to serve or whatever, or some combination of all of that. And so that's where, you know, that's where we could invite them to take on a task at the group. You know, maybe it was, you know, you know, taking attendance, or maybe it was, you know, helping if your group does, you know, has food at it or whatever, maybe helping that, or maybe 1 week that you ask them to get there, you know, early and help set up, you know, help you, you know, get set up. Maybe, you know, maybe they help do, you know, do an icebreaker, or, you know, I'm saying just a thing in your group, okay? Because as they do a thing, then you're going to help to see something. It's going to just help you to know. Because remember, we've just got that environment where we love and encourage. We just want to see people, you know, begin to put God first in every area of their life. And so it'll be just really obvious. That person that seems to be just, wow, that seems to really fire them up. They say, wow, that they really appreciated getting to do that. And then the second piece to this is that of host. Now, over the years, we've used this term host in a lot of different ways. And in the world of small groups, it's, you know, the term host, you could be a gambit of 5 or 6 or 7 different things I could think of off the top of my head. And we've probably done a few of those over the years. But we've kind of honed that in the mindset of having a natural pattern where people can begin to grow in, okay? So we're going to take this term we're going to call host, okay? And what a host is that person, maybe, you know, they've kind of been, maybe you've asked them to assist a little bit, but you're noticing that, man, they really seem to be, you know, maybe gifted at communicating, or they seem to really connect well with people, and they really are, maybe they're really passionate about groups, and you just are, you got that sense, you know, you just say, you know what, hey, why don't you, how about next week I have you, for those of you that do message-based groups or in any of your group situations, help lead out in the discussion, or maybe 1 week. Maybe you give them a discussion question that week and you prep them ahead of time and you let them lead out on one of those. Or maybe next week they take a little bit bigger role in maybe your the prayer time in your group. Maybe taking prayer requests or something like that, or leading off in one of those. Or, you know, maybe you give them a little bigger chunk. Now, the goal with a host is that if they seem to, and in your conversations with them and so forth, and you say, man, you know what, you really seem to, you know, you really seem to have a gift for this. Now, the goal for a host is that at some point during the course of your group semester or time, you know, or during a period of time that person is there, your goal is to have that person facilitate the group, or a person, doesn't have to, you know, it's not like there could be 3 or 4 people, you know, moving, whatever. That's why this is not a title. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is not a title. This is a function. Okay? And so don't get caught, that's why I say, don't get hung up on the word. You know what I'm saying? Just it's not a title, it's a function. It's really how we see as group leaders, this is how we need to see how to help cultivate what God is doing in somebody's life. Am I making sense? You understand what I'm saying? And so part of the goal is to see that person take, you know, if they really seem to be, you know, connecting, they seem to really be, get fired up about what's going on in the group, they seem to really be connecting or whatever, and you're thinking, you know, wow, maybe God's doing something in their heart. What do you think? Hey, well, what do you think about next week you doing the whole discussion section? You know, what if you think about what you doing the whole prayer deal? And then, you know, if things seem to be going well and that seems to be happening, well, in the ideal of this would be that at some point a person would be able to kind of, you step back and be with them, and they facilitate the whole group once. And that way you're right there with them. They've been seeing you do it. You've been interacting with them. You know, this has happened over a period of weeks and period of time. And now they've been able to do that. And now you've been able to help kind of recognize and encourage some things along and say, you know what, maybe you ought to consider. And then we're going to take their hand from there and help coach them from there. They may not want to do that, and that's okay. That is absolutely fine. They may just love you to pieces and want to stay in your group for the rest of their life. And we hope they do. I mean, I hope that happens. That's a good thing. But there's going to be some. There's going to be one here, over there, here, there, whatever, that God is carrying them forward, and they're going to be, you know, maybe they're leading a group just like yours next semester or somewhere down the road. Do you see the picture of where we're going here? We want to see this become the natural flow of how we can take somebody by the hand. Do you see what I'm saying? And encourage them in what God is doing in their lives. Encourage them in that. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to know all that. We just have to be willing to love them enough to help create opportunity. Do you see? And so that's the purpose of all of that. And so that's why those four components will be. And there's some other things that we'll start making you aware of. Like, for example, there's some things that we're going to want a person that gets engaged as a host to know. There's some information that we're going to want them to have, okay, along the pathway. And so we're going to start making that available for you to connect them up to that. Now, some of that might be on the web. Some of that might be we're working through all of that. You might be a CD. I need to grab one that you could give them and listen to it. And then you go back after they've done that, and you'll kind of have some conversation with them after the fact, because we want to begin to feed them and give them the right teaching information and so forth along the way, because we want to help you to encourage them, to minister to them, and let's, you know, see what God is doing in their lives. That's why we exist. That's why we are here. And so, of course, then there's, you know, from there it's becoming a group leader, and probably down the road at some point as groups continue to grow here at Celebration Church, the natural next byproduct would be there would actually be the role of a coach, because once we get to a certain mass of group leaders, we're going to have to get really good at staying connected to one another. And so we're going to do that by kind of creating another level of care in here. And that'll be kind of a coaching role. And then, of course, the coordinators kind of fill that slot today in that. But they'll, you know, we'll that'll be more coming down the road. Now, for those of you that have been existing group leaders, let me just cover this real quick. And Patrice, you can begin to prepare to come up to set us up for the breakout groups in just a minute. But there's a couple of things that I want to highlight. And we are tweaking and retooling some things where in the arena of reporting who the attendance and so forth like that. And since you know, I know you guys love this so much, and you know, having to get that in, and but first of all, the reason it's important that we are communicating the who that showed up at your group, okay, in other words, a name, a person, okay, is because every person that shows up at your group is a gift from God. Every person that shows up to your group, God came to you and said, I have a gift for you. I need this person to be in your group. That is a gift. And as leaders, God is asking us, would we be the vessels that he can work through to steward, to care, to love, to... Do you see what I'm saying? So reporting is important because everything that we do that relates to that person, we are stating that we see them as valuable, okay? And so every person is a gift from God. That's why making sure that you get, you know, that information into the church every week is important. Now, the how is where we're going to make some changes and make some tweaks. And because here's what we want to do. We want to make this as easy as possible, okay? I just want to make it easy. That's all. And because this is not, I don't want anybody feeling like, you know, so I don't want you to be stressed out over this, okay? It is a big deal, but it's not that big of a deal, okay? I mean, it's not like, you know, the world won't end or nothing like that's going to, you know, but it is important. Do you understand? It is important. So what we're going to do is we're going to create some avenues to just try to make it as easy as possible, you know? And so Patrice will be rolling these things out. Of course, you'll be able to, you know, continue. You can use Fellowship One. You'll be able to go in and log it in, because that's a piece of cake for those of you that are, you know, are computer people at all. You just, you know, put a little click next to their name, add a person if you need to. You know, you should be done in a couple minutes. But for those of us that, you know, just hate the thought of having to go on and, you know, and log in because your life is busy and this and that and the other, and computer's the last thing you're thinking about, and, you know, I work on one all day. God help me if I got to go get on one for something else, you know, or whatever your deal is. Then we want to create some other avenues for you to do that. I mean, you can email the information in. We've actually created a phone line that you'll be able, you can pick up a telephone and you can call and you can say, this person was there and this person was there and that person was there and that person was there and that person was there. Love you, God bless you, see you next week. Right? Hello, assistants. Do you see what I'm saying? You getting with me? Okay. But now we're responsible to make sure it happened. Okay. And we're going to be working with you, and there'll be a lot of things going on. And now one of the things that we're also doing, and for those of you that are coordinators, we are eliminating this concern from the coordinator's vocabulary. They do not have to be concerned if any, say for example, the coordinator over men's, that's David. It is not David's responsibility or concern whether or not his groups report their numbers. Okay? Because what we don't want is I don't want David to ever feel like, well, let me turn that the other way. I don't want you to ever feel like, whether it's reality or not, that the purpose of David's call to you or when he stopped you in the hallway or, you know, whatever, was that because you know that you didn't send those numbers in and you know he's after you. Do you understand? I do not want you to ever feel like that was... Because, see, I know how things get twisted. They don't mean to. But sometimes, you know, we kind of, you know, we add to our perception, you know, sometimes perceptions or... Sometimes it was the time of day, sometimes it was the time of month, sometimes it was the whatever, you know. And so we you know, maybe we just misfiltered something. Well, what happens is in that is if I ever assign that in whether reality or not, if it ever that seed ever gets down, that you know what, the only reason David calls me every week is because he needs just making sure I did what I was supposed to do to get those stupid numbers in. Then what happens now in my relationship with David is now all of a sudden I'll quit being open. Because now I've shut down a little bit. Just a little bit. Now that little bit may or may not be bad, but what it stops me from doing now is it stops us from having a real open relationship where he and I can, you know, where I allow David now to be that coach, you know, that mentor, that person. Do you see? And so we're going to, we've just after looking at this and really thinking about this, we're going to remove that piece. Because we need the coordinators to be, your primary function is to love and to care and to coach. Okay? That's what you do. You're there to love that group leader, to care for them. How's it going, man? You know, and help, they, you know, you're the person, you're the first person that they can run to say, you know what, this happened to my group this week, you know, whatever, and, got a little out of control, or this happened, or that happened, or whatever, got off track, or what, you know, whatever, and say, how would you have handled that? That, you know, or you could have said, hey, this, hey, we've got this thing going on, you know, we've got to get so-and-so happened, they're in the hospital, and we're doing this and that and the other, and they need to know that, because they're going to, in turn, pass that up, you know, to us, because we need to know that. We need to know when there's a care issue going on in your group, because we want to help get around it. We want to help get around those people's lives and help be a lift, okay? Does all that make sense? Are we good? You understand where we're going with all that and why? And because the reporting is important, but how we do it, we just want to try to make it as easy as possible. And here's the last thing that I want to leave you with. And this is the principle of what I call talking it up. The principle of talking it up is this. The primary way that God will connect people to your group is if you will talk it up. If you're in that room, on a weekend and you're in the big room and you know, they're at service or whatever, and you start engaging with people around you and say, the question is, so what group are you in? That's a good question to ask. Why? Why do we do groups? Because we want to see people connect with God and build some lasting friendships, right? So talking it up means we've got to begin. The primary way is, I guarantee you, I promise you, God will put the people near you that you need to talk to. I promise you He will. I have watched this for years and years and years and years. I can guarantee this is what He will do. But here's what happens is, they've probably been standing around you, but unless you open your mouth, they don't know who you are. Because in the future, what really should happen at Celebration Church, any of us should be able to be in a service in any given weekend, on any given time, and within earshot of us should hear somebody talking about group life. And let me tell you, when that starts to happen, here's what I will tell you. the world at Celebration Church will transform like you cannot believe. This thing will lift like you cannot imagine. You only think we've experienced great things from God. And we have, but we haven't seen nothing yet. Because God loves His children. And He is all about them. Right? And He is asking us. We've shown up for work. Many are called, few are chosen. The difference between called and chosen is the chosen showed up for work. Right? The fact that you showed up. So don't ever forget the principle of talking it up. Just ask people. Just start, make that a part, a habit in your life. Because if you'll do that and you start encouraging that in your group, well, then now they start to do that, and you know how it works from there. So, awesome. Well, Patrice is going to come and set us up for the breakout sessions. I'm going to close us in prayer. And was that helpful? I mean, did you get something out of that? Okay. Good. Very good. And, we're going to do this kind of thing twice a year. And we got some other things coming down the pipe that we're working on. And, we just want to continue to grow our relationships together and empower and equip you in every way we possibly can. And cannot tell you enough how grateful we are for your serving God as group leaders. I represent Pastor Stovall and Carrie here, and I want you to know that they are so grateful, and we all of us here are just so thankful for you giving of your time, giving of your talent, giving of your life, sacrificing many things to do what you do. And thank you. And on behalf of the people that will show up at your group, thank you. Let's pray.